the Dow yesterday, 21,000. That's the topic of our thought leader conversation this morning. Don Lloyd of Associated Bank is the guy who looks at all the world currencies, and we are going to check in with him. Don, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Great. Good to see you, Steve. Thanks for having me back.
It's always great having you here, and we're fresh off 21,000 on the markets, this U.S. stock markets yesterday. First, your reaction to that, and then how is that compared to what the world markets are doing?
It's a bull market. Hang on for the ride and just stay out of its way. We live in great times. This is an exciting period. Ever since the election this past November, Mariah Carey and her New Year's Eve event, the Oscars, this has been a period of just what's going to happen next. Everything from OPEC cutting their production down, and believe it or not, they're at 90% of the agreed upon levels. One astonishing thing after another is occurring. So can we be more entertained, is all I can say. And here we are pushing through new highs again on the equity market. The U.S. seems to be definitely down the right path as far as getting its act together when it comes to the economy and whatnot. How exciting a time is to live in. This is wonderful.
It is very exciting. I was hoping to see more details, more specifics about what's happening. Are world players wanting to see more too, or are they still sort of riding the faith wagon?
Yeah, I think everybody would like to see more detail. That's going to be laid out over time. We live in a very quick world when people like immediate feedback and immediate results. And there's a long game that's being played here, globally. And things don't happen at the speed that we're used to with social media and with the internet and how we like to be, rewarded so quickly with information and whatnot. These events take time, they unfold, and there's probably an agenda, which is a long game, to let these things unfold. So everybody just has to settle down and be a little bit more patient as these things develop. And I think that's sort of where we're heading right now into these markets globally is, I won't call it the great pause, but it is a period of let's reassess where we've come from since the U.S. election. Let's take a look to see, with the stock market at these levels, with the Federal Reserve out on the prowl again, let's just take a pause and assess. And that's not a bad thing to do right now. Do you add to these positions? Do you hold these positions? Are you going to take profit at these levels? What are you going to do? So I think that's where the world is. And doesn't get more complicated.
And it's very good advice too. Pause and just sort of kind of look around. But what would be a decision maker? What would you see in all of that to say after that pause? Okay, I do need to remove myself from these positions, or I need to do this or that.
I don't see anything on the horizon that's going to, other than some black swan event that could occur, that's going to get people out of the mindset that they're in. The markets are behaving very nicely in the U.S. I think you have to take a look at global markets now and say, when will they start following? And you're starting to see that to some extent over in the European zone. Their manufacturing index, the highest it's been in 5 years. So there's a little bit of a pulse now that's starting overseas. They're trying to reinflate over there. They're trying to get inflation going a little bit over there. They want the growth. It's starting to occur, but they're nowhere near that of the United States. On the horizon, you have Brexit that's going to rear its head in March as the UK enacts Article 50. You've got the Scottish now talking about their independence again. You've got the Netherlands talking about the viability of their use of the euro. So you have these uncertainties that are out there on the horizon that are going to start getting some press and start moving in. The market has to digest that. Right now, if you take a look at what the dollar is doing, it's a strong U.S. dollar. There's a reason for that. It's because the fundamentals look attractive here in the United States, and they don't over in Europe just yet. But I think depending on what kind of traction Europe gets will depend on where that next push in investment goes.
Let's talk a little bit about currencies, because that's your expertise area. What are you seeing in these areas, especially in the UK and in Europe, with currencies, and how are they struggling, and if so, why?
Yep. It's a dollar game right now. Always has been for since the election, at least. Interest rate differentials continue to move in favor of the United States. That's going to attract capital. And you got to remember, Steve, that foreign exchange rates are an end result. It's an end product that comes out. And what I mean by that is capital is not attracted into the United States because the dollar is strong. The dollar is strong because capital has flowed into the United States for investment purposes and sound fundamental reasons, and that has created a strong U.S. dollar. The world, and you've heard me use this analogy before, the world is nothing more than this big pool of money that sloshes around. And whether it's investments or if it's capital expenditures for companies, it's looking for some return for some amount of risk. And right now, that risk-return ratio is to be found right here in the United States. That's where people want to be. And there are sound fundamental reasons underneath that. Employment on the increase. Consumer spending still very solid. Business investment starting to pick up. Government spending has always been very stable. The Fed sitting there trying to get ahead of interest rate or monetary policy that is going to be very indicative of where they think the economy is going to go. These are all very positive things. And when you take a look at other countries around the globe, you don't see those types of discussions or events occurring or lining up just yet. You've always had Canada. I mean, Canada has really been just this steadfast country for the past 10 years going through all of this stuff. I mean, you got to love the Canadians up there in the Canadian economy. They've navigated this very well. But the U.S. has again emerged as this leader out there. But I think you sort of take that pause and you take a look and say, okay, when is Europe going to start taking traction? And that whole risk-reward scenario, can we now find it going on in Europe? I don't think we're there yet, but I think you have to really keep taking a close look at that.
The last time we talked, we were concerned about the emerging markets, Mexico too, especially after the election. A lot of these emerging markets went down big time, but they seem to be coming back. And is that too because they're maybe becoming more comfortable with what they see at the White House or the dollar? Does the dollar impact that as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Mexico is a great example of that. The knee-jerk reaction after the election was, the walls going up and tariffs and all of these pulling businesses out of Mexico and having them come back to the U.S. And there was a lot of negative sentiment around that. But you got to remember, the U.S. is such a huge economy that as the U.S. goes, Mexico is going to follow right along and they're going to benefit from it as well. So we have to take a look at Mexico in a different light. After that knee-jerk reaction of all that negative feel that was going on out there, to swing this back around and say, all of that noise aside, let's take a look at the fundamentals, the financial fundamentals of these countries, not the political, not the rhetoric that's out there, but the real strengths of these countries. And let's take a look from that perspective where that investment money is going to start to flow from.
Well, there was some talk, too, after that first sort of head-to-head from Mexico and President Trump over the wall, that Mexico could turn and hurt us if they really wanted to. And now that you're here, I want to ask you about this because I'm a little confused. How could they hurt the United States?
They still provide a lot of cheap labor for the United States. They keep our costs very low. If you want to get into some type of a tariff war or a trade war with them, that's not going to help anyone out. And I've never been a big advocate of that. Things like immigration control, the wall going up, as much as I sort of in favor of an American first idea, or America first is not the right, America leading idea. And I do like that America leading idea. We still take a lot from Mexico, and we still have a very good relationship with Mexico when it comes to business, when it comes to trade, and we just have to be very sensitive around that. It is a source of cheap labor. It is a source of whether it's resources that are down there, whether it's oil that we need to pull out or what. There is trade that's there, and Mexico. Can they hurt us? Sure, they can create pain for us, in that those types of jobs that we rely on and those types of activities that we rely on Mexico to do, we have to find another. We have to outsource that to someplace else. We have to find someplace else to do that. Whether that comes back on shore here or into the United States, where is that going to go? I mean, How do you develop that? How do you build that infrastructure? Because right now, the world is it's being met through Mexico right now. And if you let the free markets trade, they're going to find the most efficient use of the resources around the globe. And right now, that's found down in Mexico. And if you disrupt that, where are you going to replace that? Where are you going to fill that in? Yeah. So, you know, just be careful of the obstacles you throw in front of it.
I saw one expert say that, hey, everybody remember, Mexico has an ocean shoreline as well, and they could just as easy trade with some of those other countries as we
right.
do. It's a big deal to think about.
Yep, exactly. So, you know, when you take a look at the other countries around the world, you know, the commodity-based type countries, with oil sort of in this $53, $54 barrel level, that seems to be plateauing out a little bit. So, you know, that whole area and those types of countries and economies are starting to settle down a lot more because, you know, the price of oil is not down at $26 or $27 a barrel. As the price of oil continues to rise, if it does up around 56, 57, 58, it just opens up more wells. So you're going to have more supply that hits. So for those types of countries that are resource-based and commodity-based countries, all of that's settling down now. You know, we've sort of been through that period of rapid price change. That seems to be leveling out now, finding some equilibrium. So I really think, unfortunately, with all the excitement of the election and New Year's Eve and jokingly the Oscars, we might be in a period of sort of being bored. That, you know, the Dow at 21,000, I think we could be entering into a period of boredom, of reassessing, and we just have to be ready for that. Not every day can be a record day.
Saw one report of Wall Street Journal, 8 emerging market currencies higher against the dollar since the Trump election.
Sure.
So that's moving along well. Aside from the currencies, we're seeing commodities too. Copper.
Yep.
This was a big blip too. What's going on with copper?
Again, with the commodities and as growth continues to go and the U.S. economy starts to come out of continues to grow, there's going to be a demand for a lot of these commodities that are out there just for the pure manufacturing aspect of it. There is the speculative side of it that goes on. You know, that's going to create a little bit of some interesting price action. But for the most part, commodities are going to have an underlying demand as the world economy emerges and as the world economy continues to move out and expand. Led again by the U.S., but as the other countries go in the world, those types of commodities and resources are going to have a demand under them for manufacturing and whatnot.
If the Fed tightens policies, expected maybe a March increase, how is that going to impact all of these areas we've been talking about?
Yeah. Again, with the Fed on the prowl out there, exciting time. Certainly the March meeting, it's priced in about 80% or so that there's going to be a Fed hike. If you take a look at 3 hikes this year, it's priced in at about 50% right now. How's that going to impact it? It probably won't have much of an impact for the next rate hike or two. We're still sort of in negative real interest rate mode. I sort of subscribe to the side of the Federal Reserve has limited capacity and limited resources. They just have so many rate hikes in their bag. They want to spend those wisely. On the other hand, we're still in negative real interest rates or close to it. So they have room to move up and raise rates, and they will do that, I think, until that negative real interest rate phenomenon dissipates and leaves. And then every rate hike after that, I think, will start to have more of a real impact. Now, right now, it's just taking out excess slack that's out there, and it's also confirming that the U.S. is heading out and moving into an economic expansion phase. Those are all good things for us. Hasn't been a negative yet. Might not be a negative for the next year or two. But at some point, as we get into the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, targeting of Fed funds higher, and as that yield curve starts to steepen or move up, that's where you're going to sort of see a lot more interaction between the term structure of interest rates, the equity market, and everything else that's out there.
Well, Don, let's hope March Madness continues to be a happy madness and not a crazy madness.
keep our fingers crossed.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Don Lloyd is the Senior Vice President and Manager of Capital Markets, in charge of foreign exchange, rate swaps, commodity derivatives at Associated Bank. Make sure you listen to our thought leader conversations every week here on 720 WGN. We also post them online at WGNradio.com. And we know our thought leaders are talented and experienced, very smart, but they also take your questions and are ready to answer them. So if you want to send one in via email, you can at thoughtleader@WGNradio.com. That's thoughtleader@WGNradio.com. And your question could be addressed right here on the opening bell in one of our thought leader conversations.